Hello and welcome to another episode of the Classic Pinball Podcast. My name is George and I'm joined by my co-host Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hello, George.
Today we have not one, but two guests. Our first guest is both host and board member of the Pinball Asylum in Fort Myers, Florida, David Denholz. Hello, David.
Hello, George.
Our second guest is the number four IFPA-ranked pinball player in the world, Eric Stone. Hello, Eric.
Hello again, George.
David, let's start with you. Please tell the audience about the Pinball Asylum and the event scheduled for Sunday, March 7th.
Okay. So the Pinball Asylum is a nonprofit. We're a 501c3. We started in 2011, and we started with a very small space. And over the years, we expanded to our current space, which is about 5,000 square feet. We have about 120-something machines. The machines are all loaned by people who we call the asylum inmates. I have machines here, and there's about, I think, about 10 other people that have at least one or two machines. So we, pre-COVID, we were open once a month for a pinball league, and we had approximately six IFPA sanctioned tournaments a year. And we had people come from all over the state of Florida, Georgia, California, even people came from overseas occasionally for some of our bigger tournaments. COVID kind of knocked us back quite a bit. People didn't want to, you know, crowd in here anymore. We'd have typically on a league night anywhere from 45 to 75 people. We decided to stop having events. And our last event, I think, was March 11th, almost a year ago, 2020. So what we decided to do was try something different, because we have so many friends in Florida that are, you know, without pinball now. So we decided to do an outdoor event. And we're lucky that we live in Florida, number one, because, you know, weather permitting, it's a gorgeous time of year to have an outdoor event. So what we're doing on Sunday is we're bringing about 18 machines downstairs. The Pinball Asylum is actually on the second floor. Luckily, we have an elevator. We'll bring the machines downstairs in the back of our building. We're going to set them up and we're going to have a pin golf, actually 10 hole pin golf. Each person gets to drop their worst hole. So it's really a 9 hole, and the rest of the games will be on free play. People are going to come with their cars. We're calling it a tailgating event, their grills or coolers, you know, whatever. It's going to be like a huge outdoor event, which, you know, hopefully we'll have at this point, 40 plus people signed up. And we're really excited about it. And the weather's supposed to be good. So we'll see what happens. It's an experiment.
So the Pinball Asylum, you guys were great. You guys were picked to host the World Championship. Josh Sharp picked you guys. How come, how'd you get the honor to get the World Championship to there?
You know, it was interesting how that occurred. There's a pretty famous player, I'm sure you guys know of him, Trent Augustine. And he was down here in Florida to meet his girlfriend and move her to Ohio where he lives. Maybe I'm giving too much information, but he was here and he said, you know, this place would be a great place to hold the World Championships. And I said, really? Never thought about that. And he goes, yeah, you guys could do it here easily. So as a matter of, you know, chance, a month after that, there was Florida Free Play, which is our big show we had in Florida before COVID hit. And I saw Josh Sharp there and I walked up to him. I said, hey, Josh, I'm David from the Pinball Asylum. Yeah, I've heard about you guys, heard good things about you. And I said, you know, I was thinking, you know, I'd like to get more exposure for our place. Do you have any ideas? He goes, what about having the World Championship there? I'm like, I can't believe you just said that. And he said, yeah, he said, you know, we have this form we'll send out to you and you got to answer a bunch of questions. You got to have bathrooms. You got to have so many machines. You got to have techs on site. You got to have enough space for, you know, us to set up our own table. There was a whole list of requirements. And I said, yeah, send me the questionnaire. So He sent it to me. I filled it out. They got it. I guess they discussed it in their board, and they said, okay, we're gonna have it at your place in 2020. So it was, you know, just fortuitous. I don't know. Things just came together at the right time, I guess.
I guess it wouldn't hurt to have like one of the top three players as an anchor there at your place all the time. I mean, Eric there.
Yeah, I think he put in a good word for us. I'm not sure, but I think he did.
Several good words. Of course.
That's cool. Yeah, it's great. So when did Josh reach out to you again? Was that a year or so ago, you said? Or
so this was probably the end of 2018. Because that show was in November, typically, right, Eric?
No, it was. I think it was the end of 2017. Because
was it
2018? I remember I was here. I still wasn't working yet, and okay. You had said February-ish. You're like, hey, I got a secret.
Okay.
And eventually, you told me, and then it was public, I believe, in the summertime.
Okay, I think you're right. Yeah. So 2018. Eric's right. Or 2017, you said. 2017, yeah.
And how did you start this whole pinball assignment in the first place? What was your motivation? And tell me about that, about getting this whole thing going in the first place. And how long have you been doing it for again?
Yeah, so there was no place for me to work on machines. And I had, contact with a couple of people in the Florida scene. And they were also looking for a place to kind of work on machines. So we decided, I had rented this new building. I had just gotten into the building, and it had this upper mezzanine. There was nothing up there. It was just a concrete slab, completely open to the downstairs warehouse. And didn't know what to do with it. I just kind of stored some, I'm in the medical business, so I stored some parts and stuff. And I said, well, why don't we create a little room, air conditioned room upstairs, and we could work on pinball machines. We got an elevator, we can bring them up. And people thought that was a good idea. So we built this room, which was 800 square feet, and it was air conditioned. And basically, we started trying to have tournaments. We didn't know anything about it. I think we had one of the first IFPA tournaments in the state, if not the very first one, back in 2011. And people showed up from all over the state to play. And I think we only had about, 14, 15 machines when we started.
So 2011 was your first year of existence, or did it exist before that?
Pinball that was Asylum. The first year. Yeah, that was the first year.
So you're at your 10-year anniversary?
Correct. That's right. So then what happened was is that we started having more tournaments, and we said, okay, well, we need to formalize this. We made it into a 501c3 nonprofit, and we just saved the money that we got from tournaments that we had. And we finally had enough money and enough people to build the extension. So we went from the 800 square feet to, 2100 or 2200 square feet, money that was either given to us or volunteer work, sweat equity. And then we built the second room, and then 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, again, we saved the money up that we made through tournaments, and we put up the final area. So we have the entire 5,000 square foot mezzanine, and people came and painted and put up drywall, and we built bathrooms up here. We put down carpet. People donated all the furniture that's in here. It's all furniture. People came from people's houses. People donated. And then everything else is money that we raise from doing events.
I'm on your mailing list, and you had said that you were going to have the latest Stern Avengers. Is that going to be in your pin golf tournament?
Yes. Good question. So one of the things that we did 2 years ago, we actually bought our first Neuenbach Stern machine, and that was from a donation. We have one of our members, one of our asylum inmates that is part of a charitable organization that gives to community-based organizations that are nonprofit. And they donated enough money to us for us to purchase our first Neuenbach Stern machine. That was a Munster's Premium. We sold that last year, and we purchased the Avengers Infinity Quest, and that will be in the tournament on Sunday.
I get another question about titles in your place there. So off the top of your, do you know the games on the top of your head? Number one, number two. Okay. So list off the classic Sterns you have. I saw at least one there.
Okay. So we have Meteor. We have Viper. We have Freefall. We have Stingray. We have Galaxy. Am I missing one, Eric?
I don't think so. I think that's...
Oh, and we have a Stern EM Disco.
Did you say Freefall? I saw a Freefall there. You said Freefall?
Freefall, yes. Freefall.
And how about...
Oh, and I'm sorry, Quicksilver, which is nice. Wow. In process. It was supposed to be at the tournament, but it's not going to make it, unfortunately. That's the only one that from that list that's not going to make it.
Yeah, that's... You got some great Stern titles there. That's great.
We love the classic Sterns. We really do.
They have great flow, and their drop targets fall like butter. I love them. Sweep them.
Absolutely.
I own a bunch myself. I've been a fan forever of that stuff. How about your classic Bally's?
Oh, gosh. We got all five of the wide bodies. What is it? Paragon, Future Spa, Embryon, Space Invaders, and Hot Dog. We've got Centaur. We've got Fathom. We've got Harlem Globetrotters. We've got 8-Ball Deluxe. We've got what else do we have? We have Electra. We have Vector. Strikes and Spares. Mata Hari. What am I missing, Eric?
Kiss.
Yep.
Captain Fantastic.
There you go.
Is Hocus Pocus Bally?
No.
It's a Bally. Two-player Bally. EM. I have one. Great game.
Yep.
Eric introduced me to that game up in New Hampshire. Remember we played that game, Eric?
That's a good one. That's going to be in the pin golf on Sunday. Oh, and the latest one is the Star Trek, Bally Star Trek. We just got that up and running. That's going to be in the tournament on Sunday as well. Gordon. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, that's a toughie. That's a great game. Yeah, you can.
I'm sure there's a lot of others that are here that we don't. That we're not thinking of. We've got the Xenon here that eventually will get going. But I mean, there's 100 machines in here. So
yeah, over 120.
Yeah. So I'm sure we missed a couple.
How about for your old school Williams games, the same time frame, the late 70s, early 80s Williams stuff? Any of that? Like Firepower, that kind of thing?
No.
We're not as fluent in those.
Is Mars Trek a Williams?
No, that's a Sonic.
All right.
We have like the Taxi, Diner, the later era Williams.
You got the System 11s.
Yep. Yep. We've got Argosy, which is Williams EM. Aztec, another Williams EM.
Grand Prix?
We did have a Grand Prix. That is no longer here. We have a Time Fantasy and a Warlock, which are pretty rare.
It's a rare, yeah. Both rare. Yeah.
Williams games. Trying to think if there's anything else. I'm sure I'm missing one or two.
Bad Cats,
yep.
That's a fun, rare game. It's usually in beat-up condition. How's yours?
It plays very good, not perfectly, but I have Merco playfield for it. So the plan is to redo that one. That's probably going to happen in the next couple of months.
We have an 8-Ball Deluxe too.
Looks like you got the 84 swing out door version, I think, on that one. Looks like.
Yes. True. Yeah.
I tell by the black head.
Correct. Yeah, otherwise, I mean, there's a good mix of games. We have a lot of older Spanish, French, and Italian games here that are unusual. Sonic, Zakaria. We have a couple French games, rally games, which are unusual to find in the U.S.
It's great you have all that variety like that to keep people on their toes. If they're playing the same title all the time wherever they go, they kind of get acclimated, so it kind of keeps everybody on their toes a little bit.
We have a ton of Gottliebs too. We've got Gottlieb EMs, System 80. I mean, we've got a lot of Gottliebs.
Yeah, that's true.
What kind of house? What EMs do you have? What Gottlieb EMs?
Target Alpha. We have a Jungle Queen, right?
Jungle Queen.
We
have Atlantis. We have Abracadabra. We have El Dorado. Funland.
2001. Is that
2001? Yep, that's a wedge head.
We've got a lot of wedge heads.
Nice, those are fun. I have a couple of
those. They're all lined up against one of the walls in the back, which is pretty cool.
And system ones or system 80s you got as well?
I think a mix. You know, we got a. I'm kind of bad on the board sets. I forget which are which, but
so we have, system one would be like a Sinbad, a Joker Poker. That system we got one.
We got a Sinbad. Okay. Love that game. That's a fantastic. That's a late night game when we're hanging out here up late at night. Some of the guys will play Sinbad. It's a great competitive game.
We've got Amazing Spider-Man. We've got Counterforce.
Spirit.
Oh, you had a Spirit. That's a rare one.
Pretty rare. I probably the rarest of the Goblins Eclipse, which is a really cool game. I think they only made 190 of those.
And we've got TX Sector as well. The guy that made the EM just showed up.
That's Matt.
Oh.
Matt's our resident genius tech.
You're going to edit that out, right?
No.
When this is going off, tomorrow? This tourney?
Sunday.
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 We were going to do it tomorrow, but we got 70% rain, so we changed it to Sunday.
I let him know 8 days ago it was going to rain.
Eric, what do you know about weather?
Good, man.
I know.
You're so good at what you do.
That's cool. How many people do you have coming to this?
I think we have 44 signed up right now.
No, can you walk in as well, or you sign up ahead of time?
If we know you and you walk in, we'll let you in. If you walk up and we don't know who you are, then you're going to be told that this is a private event. Because, like I said, we vet people. Everybody's okay. Allowed up here, but we do vet people because we have a lot of families. We have a lot of, elderly people. So we just don't let. You can't walk in off the street and come to the asylum. You have to email us first. You know, we'll talk to you on the phone more than likely. You have to sign a waiver saying that, you know, if you get hurt here, if you break your finger playing pinball, you're not going to sue us. If you.
Eric Stone, you and I met years ago at Fun Spot. What seems like 15 years, but I guess what you're saying is 22 years. And there was a tournament we both showed up at that Funspot was having. It was a video game / pinball tournament. And we bonded there. And I was trying to recollect how that happened. And do you remember how that happened?
I just remember that we thought there was going to be a pinball tournament. It was a classic video game and pinball event. Walter Day was there with Twin Galaxies and... that's when I first met him, and instead of a pinball tournament, we just were trying to get high scores and set world records. And I know that somehow you and I met at that point.
See, I think I remember this. I remember that I was disillusioned because it seemed like I thought it was gonna be a pinball tournament or equal footing with video and pinball. And it seemed it was very video game centric about giving awards to them. And the pinball side is kind of like, oh yeah, we have some pinball players here too who played as well. But anyway, back to video games, and here's your awards. So I was kind of bummed. You were bummed. And that's how we met. We're both like, hey, this isn't right. So we both kind of high-fived on that. It's like, yeah, this ain't right. So we kind of complained to Walter Day about it. And Walter Day said, oh, don't worry. There's going to be other pinball, there's more pinball-centric events coming. You know, this isn't one of them, at least right now anyway. It still didn't, you know, ease the pain of it, because it's like, you know, we wanted to get equal billing on it and get some respect for pinball. Eventually, I remember I talked to you about getting more into your. I saw you're a great player. I said you're among the best. I play with some of the best in the world. I play with the Bones of the world, the Trents, Keith Elwin. I played out in California with, and I played against you. And when I played all these people and you, I'd say, Eric, you're definitely in their league, if not better than them on certain days, whatever, you know. I just saw you had great talent. And I said, you can definitely, there's tons of money on the line. You should definitely show up to one of these Papa events. And you kept saying, no, I said, yes, you should. It's worth the air ticket to go out there. You can win 10 grand, 20 grand. You're definitely a contender. And then tell me how that went, how you finally decided to say, okay.
How it went? I didn't do anything until pretty much you and I met over there at California Extreme. And so that was really my first pinball tournament. So people ask, why is my IFPA number 90, you know, rather than 20,000? So you and I met out there in California, played. We had a good time, won a little bit of money. And, you know, I went back to Salt Lake City and there really wasn't much to do there. Then I came to Fort Myers and you kept telling me about this place, the Pinball Asylum. And I didn't really know where it was, how to get to it. And eventually, I think you pulled up a website. And I remember my girlfriend and I were trying to find the place. We didn't realize it was, you know, something private. And I wound up emailing them. And, you know, after a couple interviews, I wound up here and I started playing in tournaments. So that's pretty much how it got started.
I remember that too. It was almost like double secret probation, trying to get in there. And you were trying to find it. It was hidden, and this whole thing. And it's like a secret club you had to get into. It was a lot of intrigue. And I'm so glad you actually, you know, got in there. And now you're going to be part of this, you know, world championship event there, which is great. And this is the first time there was a world championship event this time at Asylum.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Every other year, the world championship moves from somewhere in Europe to somewhere in North America. So every 2 years, I believe it's in Canada, and every 4 years, you know, kind of like the Olympics, it goes every two, every four. So every odd number year, it was in Europe. And then every even number year, it was either in Canada or the US, and it would kind of flip flop, you know?
Okay. This past, you know, 2020 has been, you know, kind of a weird year to say the least, but even with all the weird going on, you still won world championship titles at Indisc, which is, I guess, the new Papa now, or at least they took over for Papa. Tell us about that. You won some tournaments there, and you're kind of keeping your rating pretty high.
Yeah. So, you know, most of the tournaments that I've been to were tournaments that I would drive to. And I drove to Dallas. I drove to Austin. I drove to Pittsburgh. We even drove to Toronto. So when people say, oh, you know, you need to go to California, you need to go to Indisc, and I'm thinking, man, you know, I can't drive that far. That's just too far. Let's rewind to 2019. Back in October, there's a guy named Lee Muscaritolo, a really good friend of mine, and he's a fellow New Englander. He played up at Fun Spot in the tournaments back in the late 70s and 80s. And I guess he was way back in the day in the 80s, he was ranked the best in the world, number one. It kind of went back and forth, I think, between him and Bob Matthews. He would always tell me, hey, you got to go to Indisc, you know, that's your competition. Don't go to these little tournaments and this and that. I'm like, yeah, that's just like I said with you, Dave. You know, I don't know about that. So I said, well, I'm going to be spending a lot of money. I don't know, you know, but inside I just had this feeling, you know, I call it, you know, just a feeling from God that I need to go to Indisc. And I said, well, I don't have, you know, I'm not going to spend the money. So Free Play Florida comes up in 2019, and every Free Play Florida event that I've attended, which is three, I've, you know, been blessed to win. Well, in this Free Play Florida back in 2019, I won the classics and won the main event. And that paid, I can't remember how much, somewhere around, you know, $3,500. So then after Free Play Florida was over, I still had that nagging feeling like, okay, you know, now you've got the money to go to Indisc, you need to go to Indisc. And I'm thinking, oh man, that's just a long way away. I don't know if I can get the time off of work. And, you know, it's that feeling of pressure, kind of like, you know, something, and I call, you know, God leading me to doing that. So I'm like, all right, you know, I asked work, can I get these dates off? Yep. Looked at plane tickets. They were actually relatively inexpensive. I think $300 round trip. My good friend DJ Ryle, who lives in Pittsburgh, he lets me stay up there every time I go to Pittsburgh. Really nice guy. Him and I got a room at a place called the Oreo Hotel. And if it sounds shady, it is shady. And the pool and the hot tub were green. And I said, oh my gosh, What kind of place are we in here?
So I need to interject. I can't believe you stayed there.
I can. I can. The price was right. The price was right, Eric.
I know our audience has heard this before, but I didn't even know Eric was going to be at Indisc. And he came up behind me and said, "What the hell are you doing here?" But I stayed in, I think, the Holiday Inn Express or whatever the other hotel was, which was quite nice. Eric.
A little bit better than I'll call it a motel. Either way, it was dirt cheap, and I'm all about saving money as long as I'm safe. And I never thought that somebody else would actually pick a hotel as run down as I would pick a hotel. So, you know, him and I have a lot in common. We're the same age. We're both competitive pinball players. And, you know, it was only fitting that I stayed at the Oyo Hotel. Anyway, so, you know, I get to Indisc, Classics 1, 200 people. I come in second, Classics 2, over 215 people. They say it's possibly the biggest Classics event ever held with the amount of people. And then, you know, the World Championship, I wound up winning that with 320 or so people. And, you know, that was confirmed by reason that I felt God leading me there. I mean, it was, to put it nicely, it was one hell of a weekend. Best pinball weekend I've ever had by far. And I don't know if anything would ever top that. I think it was almost 300 IFPA points. It boosted me from, I think, 11th to third, and then eventually second in the world. And, you know, and it was a world championship. It was amazing.
You know, it's a saying that I say a lot, you know, the praises go up, the blessings come down. So I think that's a case in point here with you.
Yeah, definitely.
Has the time off with the event or our climate affected your ranking in IFPA?
I've been bouncing because there hasn't been an IFPA tournament in almost a year. So we are only losing points. Nobody's gaining points. I bounce around from second to fourth. And the longer the IFPA discontinues the point tournaments, the better chance I'm going to have to be number one, if that makes sense. Because the last two out of three tournaments, Free Play Florida and the World Championship, those two tournaments, I accumulated something like 425 points. The National Championship in Denver and the Masters, I think I got about 70 points between those two. So all of those add up to about 500 points. So the longer in time, other people's points will drop off quicker than mine. So I've always tried to pinpoint how long it would take before, you know, everybody else's points dropped off enough that I would be number one. I don't know if it's this year. I don't know if it would be next year, but I mean, I rather play pinball for points. But to answer your question, right now I've been bouncing between second and fourth.
Oh, you know your math.
Oh yeah. I mean, I have a degree in it.
There you go.
Well, three of the games that I just bought from Pinburg are going to be in it. So obviously those three titles, Pinbot, Jackbot, and Diner. I like Bally Star Trek. It's mint condition now. That's a really fun game.
That can be a tough table to play. That can be a drainer.
Yes, definitely. I don't have much time on it because the first time I've ever played it was here. It's kind of like when I went over your house. And I went in your front room and I'm like, wow, I've never seen Stargazer. I've never seen this. I've never seen Quicksilver. And, you know, I played one after the other, just happened to get the high scores. But we'll leave that for another time.
Those high scores, Eric, I'm still sore about that. You come in and you take all my high scores down and you say, you got anything else? And I thought, no, that's it for you for now, dude.
You know, people still don't believe I got 21 million on 8-Ball Deluxe.
Yeah, I think 18 million on my Fathom, or is it more than 18 million?
That sounds about right.
Because I had a run of like 15 million, and I called you up right after I got 15. And I said, I got you, dude. And you said, no, look in your book. I have 18. They go, get out of here.
But yeah, and I think you had like 2.5
$5 million on Ali, and I came in and I got three something, and you said, did you really roll it three times? You only rolled it twice. I said, no, I yelled at you every time I rolled it. We had some good times there.
But, oh, yeah.
But, you know, just like the Asylum, when I first came in here, there were games I had never seen before. And the first tournament I played in here was a doubles tournament. And, of course, I was in the B division because nobody knew who I was. And I was the last one to be picked. And so I'm playing these games and I'm doing well on them, you know. And I'm like, I've never played this game before. I've never seen this game before. And nobody believes me, you know. And I'm like, no, I really, I've never seen, I've never seen a hot dog before, you know. I've never seen this before. And, yeah, it was kind of interesting when I first started out here.
It sounds like you made your home there. It sounds like you got a nice collection to play and a great bunch of guys to play with.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I've got, you know, I've got 10 out of my 11 games up here.
You have 11 games now. It's amazing.
We have another person who just entered the Asylum, one of the inmates, a person by the name of Matt Malone. He's famous for a homebrew game called Dragon Ball Z. Welcome, Matt. Tell us a little bit about your game.
Oh, well, thank you, guys. I'm famous for many more things than just the homebrew, but the homebrew, well, that's for another interview. The homebrew was really just, you know, I kind of started it because I just needed to do it. I needed to finally deliver on all the promises I've been making. Everybody says they're going to make their own game. Everybody says it. And, I did it. So I really just kind of pressured myself to do it. I think when COVID hit, I didn't get slow at work or anything, but I started going out a lot less. So I had the time after work. So I just, I knuckled up and I ended up on a WPC cabinet and I decided on my theme and I just went for it. And I got it completed in about 3 months, start to finish. As far as a flipping game, I'm always adding stuff to it. And, just, you know, little modes and stuff. I'm starting to work on the art real slow right now. It'll be here playing, you know, at the tailgate thing. I'm excited for people to see it. There's only a few people that have played it so far. Stone has played it. David has played it. Handful of other people, but by and large, a lot of the folks around here in the pinball scene have not played it yet. So I'm excited for them to get their hands on it.
So is it based on a game or did you go complete ground up?
I went complete ground up. It's a fully designed game by me. It's not a retheme. You know, I appreciate rethemes, but this is a true one of a kind pinball. In electromechanical pinball, I had to decide what the rules were before I even laid it out. So I kind of designed it backwards. I actually drew all my circuits and stuff before I screwed anything to a piece of wood. So, you know, I chose Dragon Ball Z because I don't know, I just wanted to. I like Dragon Ball Z, so that's what I chose.
For those of us who might not know, could you tell us what Dragon Ball Z is?
All right. Well, it's a Japanimation. It's a manga in Japan. It got popular over here in the States. I would say like maybe 15 years ago, it was like the height of its popularity. It's been popular ever since over here. They actually just had a full featured, you know, movie in the cinema, actually, that you can actually go pay tickets and go watch a movie, Dragon Ball Z. It was the Broly, I forgot the name of it, but it's the Broly fighting movie. I went and saw it in the theater. Screams to it getting more popular over here. In Japan, it is truly a, you know, it's ingrained in the culture over there. People love it. It's a lot of the guys power themselves up and they fight stronger and stronger enemies. And it's just a formulaic show that just keeps following that. So they're always like getting more power-ups and fighting even stronger guys. the main feature in the game is to power up and become a Super Saiyan and get more points.
Have you documented this game out online anywhere where people could see the fruits of your labor?
Local forum here in Florida, and I have a small thread on Pinside. I haven't shamelessly campaigned like some other folks, but it's out there for people to see. It's on Pinside.
I have a couple questions about it. So is it purely an electromechanical pin, or is it has circuitry and solid state?
There is some solid state in it, all triggered by relays. For instance, like the sounds, they're like little MP3 boards that are triggered by relay pulses. It has some solid state relay timing modules that I use to advance ball sequences and things like that. But there's the heart of the game is 100 relays. I mean, it's all the coils are driven by relays. The switches turn relays on. Those relays turn on coils, and the game runs through relays. And there's a chime box in it. Everything is relays. I mean, you know, the power supplies are, you know, kind of the same stuff that Stern is using now. It's just switching power supplies. You know, I just did what I could with what I knew how to do. So I got a mixture of stuff there. There is some solid state stuff in it, but it's not helping the game run at all. Like, I can unplug all that stuff and you can still play the pinball.
So is this a four player with score reels?
No, it is a single player game with an electric counter that they actually use for like concerts. They just press a button, or people coming into a store, they'll press a button and it just counts up. So there's relay strokes that pull that in and they count the score. It's all 1 point scoring. So the shots are designed to score you more than 1 point for multiple switches. So in that sense, you know, I'm using a solid state cheat. You know, I looked into doing score reels, but it was just took up too much space, and it was just too much time. It was a lot easier just to make the game with scoring 1 point.
So is your background again? Forgive me if you didn't say it. You must have said it already. Are you electrical engineer background? Are you an EE or?
No, I work on elevators and escalators.
Okay.
So just I've had some schooling, but it's just all whatever the union decided to send me to. Nothing formal.
So there's lots of relays involved with that then, with elevators, a lot of relays and so forth. That's how you
know
that.
From the old stuff, like the early 80s and prior, but it followed the same industry style that pinball did. I mean, as soon as pinball went solid state, that's when elevators pretty much went solid state. So in Florida, the elevators boomed in like the 70s. So there were a lot of relay logic elevators around here, but they've all been gutted out, solid state stuff put in. So, you know, nowadays, I mean, you might find one or two relays in an elevator system. It's not a whole lot.
How did you do the artwork for the game?
I didn't. I didn't. There's no art on the game yet.
Okay.
It's just right now it's just white wood. I've got a couple of like instructional things painted on it, and my plastics right now are still clear. So I gotta play with Photoshop and figure that out. But I'm really leaning towards hand painting the playfield. It's just easier.
Well, if you need an artist, I know a really good one here in the Northeast, Joel DeGuzman.
I appreciate that, but this game is 100% made by me, so I'm gonna try to keep it that way.
Gotcha.
I don't want any other hands in my game.
Sure.
I'm really going for, you know, a lot of the homebrews you see, there's a lot of collaboration with other people, and I want to be the person that says, this thing is made solely by me.
Matt and I, we go out and eat at least once a week. He's a good friend of mine. He lives about 5 minutes away, and I've played a lot of games on his homebrew, and it is amazing. You know, what he did in 3 months, I don't know how anybody could do, period. When you lift the play field up and you see all the relays and you see all the wiring, it blows your mind. Even you, Dave, you know, and you have a lot of experience in that sort of thing. But one note, I did beat his high score. So right now I do have a high score.
No, don't.
Oh, no.
Of course
no,
you did.
I squashed it.
Oh.
It's been squashed, but the rules have changed.
Okay.
You know that.
I got to go back to his house and beat him. See, we go back and forth. So, but we have a good time.
I recently put in a track mode on it, actually, too. So I got this little motor that runs around and just hits these. I use these WPC, normally open EOS switches. And this motor runs around and just pulls in the lights. So when the game's off, it's just pretty funny.
Nice.
It's funny to open that up and see that.
What did you choose for Flipper Mix, Williams?
Everything is what is black? What is Black Knight System 7? Those are all the coils I used, and everything's basically WPC mix, slingshots, Flipper Max, all that kind of stuff. The drop targets, so it's all WPC.
Pretty robust.
Yeah, I haven't had a problem with the game yet. I mean, it's probably got at least 500 or 600 plays on it. You know, I was kind of worried, like the relays I chose, the beefiest Ice Cube relays you can find on Amazon, the contacts were only going to handle, you know, 10 amps. So I had to use, like for every coil that drives from a relay, I, you know, paralleled the contacts to give me a 20 amp rating, put a, like a flipper snubber across that in parallel to kind of keep the arcing down. In the beginning, I was going to, you know, end up with a locked on coil or something from some contacts arcing together, but it hasn't happened yet. So one day it will, and then I'll just pull a relay out, put another one in.
Sounds great. So did you do a YouTube video on this yet or anything out there that people can see or on Pinside?
Yeah, I did I don't know what the link is. I did a Twitch style video. I never broadcasted it to Twitch, but I used, what is it called? OSB. I used some crappy webcams, but it's out there too. I linked it to, I'll have David send you over the link.
Sure.
What up? But, I linked it to our local forum here, but I never put it on Pinside. So it's just us like casually playing it in the garage.
You were talking to me a little bit about Norma Jennings. And
yeah.
She had a battle with cancer going on, and she's a Twitch stream, and she's a really good player. Tell me a little bit about her.
Yeah. So, you know, Norma Jennings has always been, a fan of mine. She's always encouraged me. She's, you know, lifted me with her words, even, and, you know, when I'm playing competitive pinball and I get passionate about the game, and, you know, I get on highs and I get on lows, you know, and Dave probably knows this more than anybody. But I get, you know, sad and down on myself if, you know, I get in a slump or whatever. Norma was always there to kind of lift me out of that. And she's a good player here in the state of Florida. Most of the time she makes the top 16 in the state. So she's always playing in the state tournament every year. And she came down with terminal metastatic cancer about 6 months ago. So she chose to start a Twitch stream that was pinball and cancer. And it kind of lets people know that, hey, you know, if you think you have something wrong with you, you might want to get it checked out before it's too late. And she waited possibly a little bit too long, but people like, if you heard Dustin Diamond, the guy Screech from Saved by the Bell, he waited way too long. And unfortunately, you know, he passed away recently. And so she wants to make people aware of cancer and also about pinball and the fun of playing pinball. So her Twitch stream is pinball and cancer. And, you know, she doesn't ask for anything. No subscriptions, no bits, no nothing. She does it out of the goodness of her heart. And, you know, she's a believer, and she prays, and we pray for her that, you know, God will heal her. And we all pray for a miracle in that healing for her. Because the percentages aren't with her, but, you know, with God, all things are possible. So it's just really cool to watch. Her stream is every Tuesday at 7 o'clock at night. She lives on the East Coast. And, you know, with having cancer, she didn't really want to go out in the public and play pinball with COVID. So she just received her two vaccines, her two shots, and she's going to be at the asylum on Sunday. So, yeah, so a lot of us are really, really, really excited to see her after all this. But again, you know, checking out her stream, Pinball and Cancer, every Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock. And it's just really cool, you know?
And I guess what you were saying, she had some success too with this, with, you know, there's power in prayer, and a lot of people were, you know, prayer chain and that kind of thing. It actually has helped with some of her cancer, right? Some of her recovery.
Right. Yeah. And you know, she doesn't, she goes on her stream and she does her thing. She doesn't go from one extreme to the other. But her and I email each other, you know, once or twice a week. And she has told me that, you know, the power of prayer is helping out, and that she can feel herself, you know, she has more better days now than she did, you know, a few months ago. So yeah, it works.
Well, so any believers out there, you know, that have that faith, definitely she could appreciate your prayers, and the more the merrier to hopefully get her out of this.
Yeah, definitely.
I ended up emailing David Denholtz on Sunday evening to find out who had won the pin golf in Fort Myers at the Pinball Asylum, and I got this reply. It went terrific. We had 46 players and about 70 people showed up. Of course, Eric Stone won. We were joking after the tournament that we need to start giving out two first place trophies, one for Eric Stone and one for Except for Eric Stone.
Do you know if he's had any interface with Josh Sharp about the World Championships in November? I mean, it's been pretty silent out of IFPA headquarters. I'm wondering when things are going to get back to, you know, business as usual.
Yeah, I mean, we're still scheduled to go in November for the World Championships here. You know, Josh Sharp is just monitoring the situation around the world. And, you know, If 80% of the world opens up, he's still not going to open, you know, IFPA tournaments, because it wouldn't be fair to the other 20%.
It's really based on travel restrictions at
this point. So, well, yeah. Let's go down that road. If you look at the top 10, Eric, you've got Peter Anderson, Johannes Ostermeyer, Robert Suter, and Daniele Acchiari. Are they all going to be able to travel to this thing come November?
Well, we're not going to have it if they're not able to travel. That's the thing.
But
we're going to make
sure the rules are right that two people from each country can participate. Correct.
It is the top two. So basically, you have the national championship, the top two in that tournament. So when I was in 2017, I wasn't ranked in the top 64, but because I won the national championship, I was able to go to Denmark. So if in Italy, the top two people that win are not in the top 64, they get the first dibs. Okay. Right. And then it goes down from number one, number two, number three, number four, like that.
So in the US, it's you and Ray Day?
No, there's a lot more people. Colin Urban won the national championship in 2020. So he would be able to come, but I think he's a top 64 player anyway. I'm not sure who came in second, but it's basically the top two in every country in that national tournament. If they can't go, we need to fill up 64 places. So you ask, Raymond Davis is number one. Can you go? Yes. Number two, can you go? Yes. Number three, right. No. Number four, yes.
Right. I'm not really worried about the U.S. being represented. I think it's more a question of the rest of the world opening up, like you said. And if that is the case, is everybody going to be able to get into the country
come
November? I mean, that's going to come real quick.
That's the thing. If everybody cannot get in the country by November, then it will be postponed to 2022. If the world opens up and everybody can come in like normal, then we're going to have it in November. Nobody's going to be shut out because of COVID restrictions.
Dave!
Who?
Dave! D-A-V-E! Yeah, Dave!
Dave!
Right.
So anyone out there that wants to explore
getting their games worked on, getting the games restored, or buying a restored game from me, you can check out my website at pinballdoctor.com. That's Pinball Doctor, all spelled out. Or you can reach me at dave@pinballdoctor.com. Or you can reach me at drdavespinball@gmail. And that's drdavespinball@gmail.
Hot to trot. Next woman takes me on is going to light up like a pinball machine and pay off in silver dollars.
Watch him become a god.